Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jalen, last year they had a few games where a bunch of guys that we might term as non-shooters had outlier shooting nights, and they shot better than 50%, 50% or better a few times last year, and they did it again tonight. What is it about this team being able to hit so many three-pointers against you guys?
I think they're well coached. I mean, I think that's credit to the coaching staff and organization. They put together a good game plan for them, and they feel confident. And they come out and execute it. I think that's what, you know, they do. And tonight was an example of that. I just thought they made a lot of shots that we normally will feel comfortable with, but it's the playoffs. It is what it is. You got to adjust, and we got to play ball. So we got to respond.
All right, we're back. Cosby Street Podcast. I'm Joseph Pavone. Joel Pavone's here. Sean Dutra.
What up?
Not here in person, but it's all good because he's here. You know, it's great when Sean's here. And I want to hear his perspective, Joel's, and let's all talk about what's going on in this best of seven series between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. We'll also get everyone's take on just what's been going on across the league, man. It's been a really entertaining first round series. Didn't think the Celtics game two would play out the way it did. Put it that way, right? I knew the Miami Heat would come back stronger, make adjustments. Surprised to see the Celtics didn't make any adjustments in game two, but we'll get into it. And then we also have to take a trip around the NBA with Joel's in case you missed it. A lot going on. It's been a little bit. I know we had an episode, Joel and I did, but Sean, man, we haven't heard your take in a while. So I guess we'll let you start. I mean, we know you're not worried. So I'm going to get that out there before you start making Celtics fans feel better.
Sean's like, just throw it away, it's not over.
Just take me through. I know it's like this is what puts them over the edge. Yeah. This is what I saw in game two.
That's just done, bro.
These aren't champions. No, but I want to know the contrast between game one and two. Like, I want from Sean's point of view, what happened? What went wrong for the Celtics, and why did they find themselves on the wrong end of a double digit loss in game two at TD Garden, losing home court advantage?
Well, I think that they reverted back to 2021 Tatum and Brown Celtics, and that was that. That was it. They didn't get any contributions from the players that have contributed all year. Porzingis, Drew looked like absolute doggy doo-doo. They didn't play good defense. They slowed the ball down. They relied on Tatum and Brown to save them at ends of possessions. And that we just know that's not that when they do that, they play down to the competition. And then on top of that, Miami shot them out the building. So like, I don't know. So this is the way I look at it. If they come back in game three and absolutely blow it out the freaking water, we're good. It's fine. That's a good wake-up call. We're good there. But if they don't, bro, then we got that. Then you just take the panic button and smash it, because that could be. I mean, you don't want they've no business even being in a series with Miami Heat without Rozier and Jimmy Butler, and like it losing at home where you've been such a beast at home all year. Like, you can keep going down the list of why that loss was just friggin' brutal. But yeah, man, that was probably one of my least favorite Celtics games in like the past couple of years, man, just because of the flashbacks it gave me.
Man, I like how you said Celtics playing down to the competition, because that's part of their character, right? Let's face it. That's I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't show up as often as it did last year, but I think what we saw in game two was the Miami Heat finding a way to take Drew and Kristaps out of the equation. And then all of a sudden you even the playing field, right? I mean, on paper, sure, the Celtics are better than the Miami Heat that doesn't have Jimmy Butler and doesn't have Terry Rozier. You know, clearly they've been battling injuries and this team is just sort of, you know, this isn't them, not nowhere near their best, right? But I felt like when you look at game one, I mean, Kristaps, whether it was the scoring, the defense, you know, passing, just being a presence, his mere presence on offense just made things really difficult for the Miami Heat. You know, it was hard for them to get out to guard the 3-point arc. I felt like, a lot of the times on office switches, guys were just couldn't stay in front of him or whatever the case may be, you know, whether it was the tough moves or the tough shots or contested. Some of them were contested. Some of them he had enough space to get them all, but taking those guys out of the equation, I feel like was a big part of it. And then obviously, man, these guys couldn't miss from behind a 3-point arc, man. And yeah, you got to remember too, man, no Jimmy, no Terry Rozier. However, this team still has about 3-4, maybe 5 players that can score around 20 points or more efficiently on top of the effort that they need on the defensive end of the floor. Tyler Hero putting together his best game of his career, if you ask me. Definitely the best game we've ever seen him in the playoffs. I mean, 20 plus points, 14 assists. Man, you made him a top scorer and a playmaker. That can't happen. That cannot happen, especially when this team is shorthanded the way they are.
No way. And real quick, you said this at the start. You can't run some plays to get Porzingis open or have Drew play off the ball or something, like, yeah, do something, get them more involved in the game. Like, there was no effort there at all. It was brutal.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's another thing I want to get into as well, but we'll get there in a second. I just want to set the stage here with your guys' take on exactly what happened in game two.
Well, you said that the Celtics didn't make any adjustments. Forget that. They didn't even trust what got them through game one.
Yeah.
They didn't even play like that. There was no ball movement. It was a lot of, you know, ISO 101 nonsense,
right,
that we've seen, you know, played this team in the past.
Yeah, it was a lot of like exploring matchups, yeah, that on the surface look like, oh, that's a favorable matchup. Yeah. You should go with that one. But it was like, man,
but it was
when
slow.
The Heat are creating stops over and over again, is like, let's try to mix this thing up here a little bit. You know what I mean? I didn't see a lot of that. Yeah, like you said. Ball movement, yeah, like, action, you know what I mean? Play actions. You didn't see that.
It was very slow setting up, you know, there a lot of walking up the court.
Yeah.
You know, and mind you, yeah, the Heat, you know, they shot lights out from three. Essentially, the Heat played the way the Celtics did in game one.
Right.
Right.
But 23 3-pointers instead of the Celtics is 22 of game one. Miami Heat shooting over 50% while doing it.
53%, I think it was, yeah.
And it's the fourth time they've done that in the playoffs against the Celtics for the last 2 years.
Yeah. And mind you,
50% from three, right?
The Celtics shot, what, 12 of like 32 or something like that?
In game two, yeah.
And that's exactly how many threes that Miami Heat made in game one. Mm-hmm. Like, that's exactly what Miami shoots from three in general. They're about like in the mid to the high 30s, but they don't take a lot.
Yeah.
But this game, you knew from the tip that they're gonna shoot more. They're gonna play faster. Celtics were waiting for them to run downhill, but it was like, nope. Shot after shot, a lot of ball movement. They played the way the Celtics did. They took a page out of the Celtics playbook, essentially, right? Spoelstra, we know he's what, the best game two coach like ever. Like, he went, especially after a loss, is like 10-3.
Yeah.
When he loses game one and then goes into game two, like, yo, this dude
is
like
king of adjustments.
For real.
King of adjustments.
For real.
Yes.
For
playoff adjustments.
For lack of a better, you know, term to come up with here. But they did a good job, Miami, of playing more physical. If you thought that, at least I did, after game one, the way game one ended with the Tatum and the, Caleb Martin, collision, I guess you want to call it, whatever.
Right.
You would have thought that this is even more fuel to what happened last year, and they're going to come out in game two, more physical, more of what you saw in game one. But that wasn't the case. And like leading up to game two, you heard Joe, you heard Jalen, you heard whoever from the Celtics. They told you, the Heat are not going to play like this in game two.
No.
The way they play in game one, that's not like we're anticipating. I'm talking like I'm one of them, right? I'm not like I'm on the team, obviously. We're not anticipating for the Heat to come out the same way they did in game one. Mm. They fucking knew it. And in the game where I'm talking about like I felt like the Heat never led any more than like 10 points. So like the game was in reach, especially in the second half. So you saw what they were trying to do or what their game plan was, and you still didn't make any in-game adjustments.
Right.
You still just kept Tatum or Brown, you know, the one pass, like dribble going, you know, try to like go against five. And it's right. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, that doesn't work. That's not Celtics basketball.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. I feel like we all knew because they were telling us. The players were saying, the Heat players talking right. about volumes and saying they were too hesitant in the first quarter. Bam Adebayo talking about there's no way they can ever let the Celtics get out to a quick start the way they did. That's the key. Once they get that going,
the crowd
it's hard to stop them. Next time, we'll make sure we're not going to do that. And then Eric Spoelstra talking about, you know, getting as many threes up as possible. So at least in the first quarter, you knew that that was the game plan. And just naturally, just because of who they are, you know that they're going to step up on defense, you know? So I just, again, when I say like something didn't make any adjustments, I feel like you have to prepare for when those 3-point shots aren't falling. And let's face it, did anyone think that something's going to duplicate what happened in game one? Like that just doesn't happen in the NBA in the playoffs. You know, it's just something that just, in the nature of, or as Sean would say in the law of averages, right? Or whatever. Like
averages are averages. Yeah.
Why is that?
Because they're averages.
Right. So if you shoot a ridiculous amount or a high percentage one game, you're not going to do the same. It's going to even out because that's the way basketball is. And I felt like a lot of the times when the Miami Heat were stringing together stops, it was like the Celtics were like, okay, we have to, this is the matchup. Okay. Get them 1-on-1. We got this. You know, it was like, oh, we're talented. It's gonna figure itself out. You know, they can't keep shooting like this, but then they did. Yeah. They made 8 3-pointers in the first quarter and then they made.
That was it.
I mean, the consistency was there, but like, it wasn't like the Celtics were playing from behind the whole time.
No, you're right. You're right. But I'm just saying, like, in terms of them, the Miami making their threes and in the first quarter, the Celtics were mixing it up, especially Tatum. Tatum got up, what was the score, like 14 points in the
first quarter.
In the first quarter. Yeah. Couple of threes, going inside. I believe in game one, the Celtics only scored like 26 points in the paint. And they had that by like the beginning of the second quarter, I felt like. So you saw like, all right, we address, you know, taking it to the rack. But like their 3 points, you know, shot selection wasn't great. And that had a lot to do with Miami's defense. They would pounce on you a little bit after like half court. And then you just saw like Tatum like trying to take it upon himself. They're like, all right, I'm going to like try to like pass. But then you forgot like, yo, you have wide open dudes.
Yeah.
Like you know, we always go back to that sometimes when he reverses some of these bad habits. This whole team's been talking about trusting each other. This is the time when you're supposed to do that.
Yeah.
Like Derek White kind of got going at the end of the game, but it was a little too little too late.
Yeah. I mean, it just seemed like the scoreboard just ran out in that fourth.
Yeah, I mean, the third quarter definitely got away from them, but.
And hold on real quick. And Tatum and Brown.
Miami held them to 18 points, I want to say, in the third. Yeah.
Yeah. And Tatum and Brown ran out of gas. They combined for like 8 or 9 points in the fourth quarter because they were, you know, literally putting the team on their back all game long. And that's not what the Celtics went out and got Drew Holiday and Porzingis for.
For real. Yep. And the big picture that I take away from this is just, yo, is this team really locked in differently than they were last year? Like you look at the two teams.
They just had more weapons, I feel like. I mean, I think Tatum is. I think Jalen is as well in terms of being locked in. I just think it's one of those situations where the Heat made them uncomfortable and they just didn't respond with the same type of.
Which is not championship mentality. I think the two teams that everyone thinks
they're going to make with the right sense of urgency, I feel like.
No.
Yeah. But look at the Nuggets. Look at the Nuggets. They get their ass whooped in the first half. Down 20 points.
If Celtics fans should be scared of them.
They win. But that's they understand like.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we got to be locked in. Blowout
all the time. That's what you're right. Like when the situation's like that. You know, you don't know. Sway has said it, you know, during the season. It's a coin flip and it shouldn't be like that at this time of year. It's figure it out. And for Joe to be like, oh, you know, a loss shouldn't be called adversity. It was like, we're talking about like in the middle of the game. That's what the reporter was asking you. Like adversity, not that like, oh, you know, you should have won. Essentially, you should have, but like you, and during the game, where were the adjustments made? You just kept going doing the same thing during the game, just hoping that was going to like fix itself.
All right. That's what I mean. Like, I feel like it was like that. That was similar to what we saw in game one. The only difference was all those 3-point shots were falling and it kind of loosened up in terms of, because that's what happens naturally, right? When you three start falling, teams start to lock down the perimeter. All of a sudden the paint's open, right? So then Tatum taking his turn, you know, Derek White almost, well, no, I did. He hit 20, right? Like,
yeah, he did.
Everyone in the starting five not only scored double figures, but they scored, if not 20 or more. And then, you know, everything came easy to them. And I feel like there was like, okay, well, and to Joe's credit, right? Yeah, I get it. You have to see what the defense gives you and then adjust, you know. But I feel like he puts a lot of it on the players to just do it on their own. And then by the fourth quarter, you know, the talent's going to take over. They're going to explore the right mismatches and, you know, they'll score in bunches and they'll go on a run. But that's not what happened. I mean, even down low, whether it was Martin caught in a switch, he was deflecting, lobs into, I shouldn't say lobs or passes into Porzingis for him to make a play. He didn't even get a chance to.
Nope.
You know, who else? Even Hero was getting involved a little bit with, you know, on the defensive end of the floor. I mean, Duncan Robinson still looked lost, but that's always happening. You know, like, I just think that, like, when you have everybody else, when they're caught on the switch and, you know, is working like a T, I just feel like the Celtics, they didn't revert to the, okay, I got to do this on my own, or you go and I go, and that type of thing. They wanted to get everyone involved. But at what point do you say, okay, we have Jason Tatum, we have Jaylen Brown, both of these guys, you know, one has almost 30, the other one has already over 30. And we're talking about midway through the fourth quarter. Why don't we try to get one of these guys going? You know, sometimes that bothers me when I just don't, I feel like Joe doesn't say, okay, no, we're doing this. Yeah. We're getting this guy the ball and that's that. And I got the sense that that was the case midway through the fourth. Comes out of a timeout, great double screen, off the inbound to Jaylen. Jaylen goes right to teeth of defense, layup. Perfect. Okay. Keep getting Jaylen going. But then we didn't see it more after that, right? We didn't see it repeat itself. Maybe it's not Jaylen, but maybe it's someone else. Like that type of like X's and O's stuff coming out of timeout. Like I just think that's where he's going to be put on the spot in this series. And it's a good thing because I think the Celtics can still win this. Obviously, I think that the talent is there, you know, but it's also a great challenge. You know, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but just because I'm looking at the other teams and how every other top team in the East is respective stars dealing with an injury, but Miami, you're getting the same type of effort. I don't think the same thing would happen with the other teams.
Ridiculous.
You know? So yeah. I think this is a great test for them. I think they'll survive it, but it'll be interesting to see how the whole thing plays out because, it's a big spot for Joe Mazzulla. And let's face it, this is sort of, he sort of had this one coming when you consider what happened last year. It was his rookie season or whatever. All that's in the past. However, here comes Miami again. Here comes Eric Spoelstra with his tricks, you know, bag of tricks. How is Joe going to respond? I always knew going into the series that we would reach this point. I just didn't think it'd be this early.
Yeah, but like the stagnant offense.
Yeah.
Like Tatum going from 10 assists to 2. You got to get your teammates involved because that's what got you there. You can't abandon that just because Miami's hitting a bunch of threes. Like,
yeah.
Like, we've seen this before. We've seen this movie. Change up the ending this time around because you can do that because that's what you've been doing all season long. And another thing, what's up with the playing at home in the playoffs for the Celtics? Like, over the last, like, you know, 2-3 years.
Yeah, people starting to notice them.
They're under, like, 500 now because of game two loss now over the last 3 years.
Sean, Tatum was 1-for-3 in the fourth quarter. What was up with that?
He seemed invisible and it was almost like, Jaylen's got it going. Let's just have Jaylen do it. It's like, let's just have Jaylen take everything. I don't know. I think the fourth quarter was an absolute mess. We couldn't get a stop. Anytime they had a little bit of momentum, Jaylen Brown hits a couple shots.
But that's the thing, man. Joe's got to intervene. Joe's got to intervene.
Yeah.
You think that shit's happening? You think that shit would happen if Jimmy was active? No, they find a way to get him his looks. And if he stinks it up, then so be it. You know, it wasn't his night, but I can't stand it when like a game plays out this way. And it's like, man, he didn't even have a chance to impact this game because he took 3 shots in the whole fourth quarter.
And then his whole defense during like the press conference, like, but we did this well, but we did this other thing well. Like, you know, it was still
They didn't do anything.
A possession or two, and it's like, yeah, but that's not the point, Joe. Like, this is now, we're not, this is not regular season. And for him to say, like, the regular season and the postseason are the same.
Stop saying that shit,
Joe. Like, for him to say that it's the same, so then why didn't you play the same way you did in game one? Tell me.
Yeah, I think that makes him seem like a really stupid coach when he says that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
He thinks it sounds so smart, too. Yeah. It sounds terrible, and the more you say it, the worse it sounds.
Yeah, like, that's idiotic. And also, so I think we're going to learn a lot.
Oh, he also said, real quick, Sean, he also said when people were asking him about, oh, the NBA award nominees came out, were you surprised there's no Celtics players on there? He goes, that's beautiful, dot, dot, dot. He goes, why would you – I want to make sure I get this right. He goes – why would you get an award for something in the past?
I was like, what?
What? So if you...
That's insanity!
Dude, I wanted to get the microphone and be like, but Joe, if you win the NBA Finals, you're being awarded for something you did in the past. Like, that makes no fucking sense.
You're like, they don't give you the trophy to say, like, hey, here's the trophy because you're going to win the NBA Finals. Like, that's not how it works.
Like, Joe's the classic example sometimes of, like, it sounds great in your head, but you didn't think that one through, did you, buddy? Like, that makes no sense. Every single award in the history of awards, or most awards, right? It's for something you did in the fucking past. Like, yeah. I'm going to award you for something you didn't do? Make it make sense, Joe. Make it make sense. I swear, I'm gonna make a mixtape of these fucking things he says.
That's the reason why you got a contract extension, right, Joe?
Yeah,
because of what you did in the past.
Like, what is that even?
Joe Mazzulla. You know what Joe Mazzulla is? He reminds me of like that person that you know that like has everything together, but you put a little bit of adversity into their life, and they just fucking lose their mind, and they just can't. They can't handle anything that just like gets in the regular way of their day to day that they're normal, that they're.
But you know what it is though? I don't think it's like they lose their mind. I think it's like this always happens to me. It's like a narcissistic thing with Joe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but Sean, you're onto something here though. Yeah, something like that. But
I know how to get through this.
Right. It's like, and then when he does get through it, he's like, oh, I'm a genius.
Told y'all.
And it's like, Joe, everyone goes through this. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's not just happening to you. Like, Joe, yeah, something like that, Sean. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a weird, like, it's, there's the pros and cons to it, but like, the cons are just like, are you a lunatic? You know what I mean? Like, are you, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm not going to lie. There's some of the things that he said.
I don't want to use the term evil genius, but
I'm not going to lie. Other times, you know, some of the stuff that he says, you know, has people scratching their heads. I'm just like, you know what, Joe? Yeah. Fuck him. Great. Say what you got to say. Yeah,
but it doesn't sound like, that's not that smart, bro.
But yesterday, or you know,
after game one, or before game two.
It's like, what? It's like, what are you saying, bro? Yeah, like, come on, man. Don't do that.
Like, do you have to win every room? Like, maybe he said that on a podcast recently, which, by the way, fucking Barstool got Joe Mazzulla. That says a lot about Joe Mazzulla.
Right?
That's the podcast you pick, bro?
He says no to Causeway, but then fucking, no, I'm just kidding. Never said nothing.
We would never do well. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But, you know, like.
Yeah.
And then, NBC Sports Boston was like, what the fuck? Like,
you know, right?
Chris Forsberg is like, are you serious? Like, he could be like.
What?
These guys? Oh. And he had a ball. Fucking ball with these guys.
Yeah.
That's the kind of conversation Joe wants to have, which is great. Like, what do we do over here? We shoot the shit. You know what I mean? We let our hair down and stuff. But like with Joe, it's like a different, it's another level.
He called up Blake Griffin. He's like, yo, how are these guys? Cause they asked me to come on. Was it fun? Yeah, man. It's a good time. Just go on.
He was talking about like, you know, the whole restaurant thing, which by the way, I feel like that's like a law enforcement thing for a lot of people who are in that field. Like, I don't know if you guys heard this, but
no,
when you, certain people in the restaurant, they have to, they can't be with their back, towards the door, right? So it's like back towards the wall. So they know exactly where the exits are in case shit goes down.
I know people like that.
So yeah, right? Yeah. Some people are just like that. Other people, for the most part though, it's work related. Yeah. You know, I was a Colonel Justice Minor, this dude's talked about it all the time. He was a correctional officer. You can imagine he's got to be, you know what I mean? He's got to grow two eyes in the back of his head, you know? So for me with Joe, he strikes me as kind of what Sean was just talking about here. It's almost like one of those people who's like, yo man, like you have to remind him, everyone's not trying to get you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, I'm gonna get you before you get me. Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh,
yeah.
You wrote that article, Gary, isn't that? Oh, you think that's the narrative? You in Joe's mind, right? Oh, you trying to own me in the room after the fact, after you write an article and we walk out of it? Well, I'm gonna get you next time. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like something like that.
Yeah, the pettiness.
I can't let you have one over me.
Yeah. But what I was gonna say, not to get too far off topic, today's world that we live in, sometimes you kind of have to be like that when you go to a public place.
Of course.
You
know what I'm saying? But I mean, there's levels to it.
I see what you're saying. But then the second thing I was going to say was, all right, so you've been essentially on the coaching staff in one way or another over the last, what, 3-4 years, maybe longer. So you should know how to play against the Miami Heat, my dude. The Miami Heat have been playing the same way since the bubble, literally before that.
Pretty much the same fucking personnel, too.
For real. Jeez. Like, you know, you were an assistant, and then you became a head coach. So, and how many, this is the fourth time something playing against the Heat. Like, come on.
Yo, even their replacements are the same. Like, it's the same player. Like, they have the exact same.
The same.
The same personnel.
Yeah, Terry Rozier hasn't even stepped on the floor, and he's the literally only difference between that team and
he's pretty much what Kendrick Nunn was. No, I'm just kidding.
No. No, he's Gabe Vincent. He's Gabe Vincent. Gabe Vincent.
I'm telling you, they got it. It's the same people. It's just different faces, you know.
Yeah,
same roles.
But yeah, but this is the reason why they don't go out and get another star, because they're like, well, we just get to the playoffs, and then you know, they'll turn it on and make it far, and we just try again. So that's what they do. So,
but you know what's next, though? You got both teams just put together the greatest shooting performances in the history of their playoff existence, right?
Yeah.
Going to Miami on the road, series tie 1-1.
Home court is theirs right now.
We're going to see some pushing and shoving.
Well,
we're going to see some furniture moving.
Shit.
No, I ain't talking about that little dust up that we saw, a little hard foul. I call that a hard foul at the end of game one. Yes, Celtics fans.
Yeah, it was. No, it was a hard foul. Yeah.
It's a hard foul. I mean, nothing dirty. Don't say the D word.
No, but in real time, you were like, yo, what the fuck? But then when you see the replay, like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. Like, yeah, shit like that happens, but you still should have come out in a different mindset in game two, right? Yeah,
because you should know better.
Seriously.
Right. So I think that happens.
They got into your heads.
I think we see a low scoring game for sure. And shit, man, this thing could come down to the wire, or I can see the Celtics winning by 12. I don't know. It can go either way, to be honest with you guys, but I can't wait to see how it plays out, because if it does go to the wire again, I think Joe's in the hot seat here. You know, a lot of what happens, or, you know, how they approach things, which plays are executed. I think Joe will be under a microscope for sure. If we're talking about a two-point game with like 2 minutes to go, and you know, you're not quite sure what's going to happen next.
If they get bounced in the first round, Joe Mazzulla is gone.
Oh, we're there already. Oh shit. Jesus. I didn't know.
That's not going to happen, Sean.
Okay.
I mean, yes. They're going to have a conversation, though. Hypothetically, you don't think that would happen?
No. I'm saying the Celtics not going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
No, 1,000%. If they lose in the first round.
Wick's busting him through the office being like, Brad, what the fuck did I tell you?
Yeah.
With the pre-roll. For some reason, I've seen with the pre-roll. Yeah.
I don't know. It just you just expected the Celtics to not only win game two, but win it in a way that was just like, oh, we can find different ways to beat you than just, you know, making sure our threes fall. And you kind of saw that in the first quarter, and then they just got away from
it. I feel like that would have happened if the Heat didn't make so many damn fucking threes. Like, honestly, because I when it comes down to it, I feel like if the game is relatively close, you're going to see guys step up more. You know what I mean? I feel like when the Celtics are behind and they feel like, man, we haven't had control in this game in a long time, that's when they get super vulnerable, and that's when the confidence dips a bit, you know?
Yeah.
I just feel like it's one of those teams where their heart's got to be in it throughout, and if the game's close, like, yeah, like I used to always say, you know, flip a coin, it's a 50-50 chance. But when they're playing from behind, and then all of a sudden, like, they can't stop the 3 points from falling on the other side, that's a recipe for disaster for this team.
Yeah, but you got to give yourself that chance. And you kind of never saw that, at least from the 3-point game of theirs, right?
Yeah.
And again, you know, credit Miami. You know, Spoelstra doesn't ever seem to be, you know, ever worried. Nothing shakes him.
Yeah.
He has the same demeanor, win or lose. And, you know, you gotta respect it, but at the same time, you're the better team here.
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck. Know what else to say here, you know? Yeah.
That's why. That's why
what he's got to do. So, like, you know.
Yeah.
Dutra, what are some of the best first round series you've seen across the league, across the association?
Well, this has been one of the worst series, but I do think it says a lot. Super impressed with the Timberwolves. Like that. Yeah, man,
I didn't see this coming, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if they play with that type of energy and they can continue that throughout their playoff run, they could. They probably have the best chance of challenging Denver. I don't think you're going to pick them over Denver at all. But that they've impressed me. I love
seeing Anthony Edwards talking smack to Durant. Durant just smiling like you
all day.
Oh, and Durant, love it, like, man. That's what it's about.
Yeah, Durant, you gonna take that shit, bro?
Yeah, know, right. Man. Yeah, what a season for this dude, man. Shout out to Anthony Edwards.
Yep, and then
man,
that Philly New York series is gonna go seven. It's gonna be an epic game seven, and I don't know who's gonna choke. Like, those teams always choke.
I know, man.
It's not about who's going to win, who's going to choke.
Yo, but, yo.
That's how it is.
Man, they made a heck of a comeback against Philly, but then in game three, I don't want to say he was choking, but, man, Brunson, some of those plays down the stretch, I was like, what's going on? And people are going to be like, well, the game was pretty much done anyways. I was just, yeah, okay, sure, but I was surprised. I mean, man, you're usually that dude in those moments.
Yeah, but Brunson, if you saw the first two games, hasn't been shooting all that well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So even the game other they won. Guys, it's been the other guys who have been coming up, stepping up, you know, especially late in the games. So, you're right, though, Sean. It could, you know, it could go either way here. Yeah. If, you know, especially if it goes seven, but.
Oh, it's definitely going seven, and it's going to go into like, the lowest scoring fourth quarter in game seven of, history, like it's gonna be between those two. No one's gonna be able to.
Tim's gonna be the best game ever.
It's gonna be a real pitcher's duel, huh?
Yeah. But those are. I mean, the Magic is in Cleveland is just a joke of a series, waste of fucking time. And who knows? Who knows? And if Indy can take down the Bucks, then that would be too straight, dude. If I'm Giannis,
but
if we lose,
won't be a failure.
Yeah, but how about
it won't be a failure. Yeah.
Yeah, but how about Lillard just having just the best time of his life in Milwaukee, man? It just continues, huh? My dude is combined for like 72 points in the first two games, and he's got close to nothing to show for it, if you ask me, man. Because one game, it all happened in like the first half pretty much. Okay, they won, great. Yeah. But then like, man, you go out there, you do it again, and it's like you get stomped on. It's like, does it even matter? Like, you know what I mean?
Does it?
No Giannis. No. He's like, I did not sign up for this. Yeah. What the fuck?
He's like, this I should be in South Beach.
Right? Wife divorced him months ago. It's been a rough year for my dude.
Beal and Dame are like, we should be in fucking South Beach. This is what we wanted this. Why didn't we?
That's right.
We didn't ask for this. It just happened.
I wonder if the wife was just like, Milwaukee. That was like, that was it, bro. That was the end, bro.
You just see the fax machine coming in, you know, sign these papers now.
Oh, my gosh.
Yo, and like the week before, like she like just like looking at condos in Miami and shit.
Oh, of course. Bro. She had like a list, like one through nine. Yeah. These are the spots that I really think we'd like. You know?
I'm going to give our marriage one last chance. Okay, Dame? All right. Make it happen.
I think the best place to go is down in South Beach.
She got Woj notifications. That's how she found out too.
you know, Dame was like,
calls up the boy, just send him through.
Dame was like, hey, listen, Adam Silver, I'm really not trying to tamper, but if I don't go to Miami, my life is ruined. Okay, life is gonna leave.
He even said at one point, like, you guys can't make this happen. I'll stay in Portland. Oh, no, you're gone, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're moving on from
no. Yeah, you're not staying here.
Portland was fed up. They're like, my dude, you put us through the ringer here. What do you mean you're not leaving now?
We wanted you to stay, and you said
other players speaking on your behalf.
He's like, yo, you already convinced us to do it, man.
Yeah.
We got scooped. Yeah.
we put a lot of time and effort into trying to find a trade partner for you, but.
Ah, shit. And you know he wouldn't have been happy. So, I mean, look, I don't blame Portland for doing what they did because it's like, man, you made this huge fuss. We're going to just act like that didn't happen. And just like, all right, let's go to training camp. Like, come on, man. And then what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Summer 2024. No, for real, guys. I want to get traded. It's like, oh, you want to get traded? Really this time?
Oh, yeah.
What are we going to get? Like a stack of second rounders, you motherfucker? Like, damn it. You're old. Damn it. I mean, he's not old, old, but.
I think it's time, guys. It's time.
I think if we would put his career into perspective here, I think he's on his way down. Okay. I don't think he's going up anymore. Like, let's face it.
Yeah.
So Portland, I mean, they would have been better off doing it a couple years ago, but they didn't want to do it. Yeah, man. First round's been great. That doubleheader, Tuesday night was two of the best playoff games I've seen in a while. Like in one night, like you usually don't get it like that, but that's what I love about the first round. There's games every single day. It's competitive. Yeah. Yeah. And especially this year where you have, you know, the quote unquote underdog teams have just as much of a chance in some of these matchups as the better seeds.
Yeah, man. It's been pretty competitive, which is solid.
He's like, which is terrible for gamblers, but you know, yeah. Do what you gotta do.
No, but more competitive than I think your normal first round series. Cause I think that the Suns will come back and steal a game in Phoenix and make that thing a series.
Steal a game? Yo, are you serious right now? You saying it's a wrap?
Oh yeah. That's a fucking wrap. When Tunis is asking for them to play Isaiah Thomas and Bol Bol more, bro, do you know that team's done? That team's done.
Yo, you might as well unleash IT at this point. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You got his hopes up, you know? You got him two 10-day contracts, and then you sign him for the rest of the year, and he hasn't seen the floor. Hasn't seen the floor.
I mean, hey, it's a playoff team. He's got a chance here, especially with the Suns, but the way Sean's talking, he's got like three or four more chances.
Done, capital D.
You really don't think these guys could tie this up?
No.
All right. Sorry, Suns.
No.
Sorry, Tunis.
Sorry, Tunis.
No chance in hell.
You surprised either one of you, Joel? Are you surprised about that the Clippers and Mavericks are 1-1 right now?
No.
I am and I'm not, right? Yeah. It's weird. If you watch game one, you're like, oh, well, this makes sense. But then game two, you're like, wait, what happened?
That's my least favorite series of the whole first round. My least favorite series of the whole first round. Should be the best. And I realized while watching those teams play against each other, I actually can't fucking stand watching those teams. Like, I just don't know why. Man,
they're just a rare sunshine on this episode.
I think that's the only series he doesn't like. Yeah.
I like watching Luka, and I like
I was going to say, that's your dude. Your freaking
Kawhi and Luka. Those are my two dudes. But just the team surrounding both of those guys, it's brutal to watch. They play so clunky.
Dallas for sure. Yeah.
Dallas and LA, man.
Clippers are fun to watch.
Clunky basketball.
Dallas, you just watch for Luka and Kyrie. Like, that's it. But the Clippers, they're fun to watch.
Nah, I don't like watching them. I don't like watching them. I just don't like watching them.
Yeah, and plus Kawhi, you don't know. His health is still up in the air.
Yeah, he looks kind of shaky. Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. In game two, I was just like, wait, this isn't the same Clippers team.
It's like you missed eight games to miss more time in the playoffs? Okay, all right.
Man, Kawhi should be D'ing up Luka, locking him down in the fourth quarter, and he's just not. He's not doing it, dude. I don't know. It seems weird.
Yeah, I thought that was behind him, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, you're going to miss postseason games now? Because they look completely different, you know?
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
All right, well, first round continues, of course, here on Causeway Street. We'll continue to break that down. But let's wrap up this episode the way we wrap up every single episode here on Causeway Street. We take our trip around the NBA, see who's in the news, latest headlines.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it.
Joel, what we missed?
And I know this happens. We're creeping up on a week now that this is, but we gotta talk about it. We gotta talk about Jontay Porter here. being banned from the NBA.
Oh, man.
Hey! About shout out to all the degenerates, baby!
Shout out to the degenerates. Just puts a big old smile on Sean's face. He's like, I'm not the only one.
Are we talking about gambling? That's what we're talking about now. You got
his ears perked up. No, your ears perked up
like a fucking Doberman.
No. Your ears poked up like a... Jokic, when that Serbian dude started speaking to him in yeah. Yo, did you see that thing? That was so funny. He was like, Nikola? He freaking turned around and was like, yo, who said my name like that?
Is it Dad?
Yeah. He literally looked up like, Dad? I didn't know you were here.
Yeah, Mr. Jontay Porter, who, he is related to Michael Porter Jr. Right, so that kind of little twist to this story.
Yeah, I didn't know that until after the fact.
So then they announced.
Yeah, they have the same last name, guys.
Well, shit, I didn't think that. Fuck.
Thanks. that was a little giveaway, right?
It's a popular last name.
Yeah. So
yeah, but you guys are acting shocked that they're related. Like they got the same last name. You guys did it. Like, when I heard it, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Like.
Yeah, but you make it sound like his name is like.
I didn't know he had a brother that was in the NBA.
No, I didn't either. I was saying that. I didn't either, but.
Right, but you, no. Wait, what? I thought you were saying you knew that because of his last name.
No, he was just being a dick saying like, yo, they do have the same last name.
Oh, I was going to say. Dude.
Yeah, like, you guys were like, I can't believe, because surprisingly enough, they're related.
Well, Sean, if his last name was Smart, then yeah, you know, I'd be like, that's probably Marcus's fucking brother. But
yeah,
Smart's not a common last name. This one is.
Yeah, you know. Same with Bogdanovich. Bogdanovich, you know?
Especially in the NBA. Well, for some reason, that's a big one, too. For some reason, I say.
Yeah, it really is.
But anyway. Porter, though, I can think of like three out of former NBA players, last name Porter.
So John Terry here.
Name those that don't name him.
As a two-way player for the Toronto Raptors.
Was a two-way player.
Sorry. not that he's no longer with us because he's still alive, but he's been banned. So I'll get to there.
You gotta go overseas or some shit.
Yeah, let me get there, right? So he's been banned from the NBA. A league investigation found that Porter was violating league rules by disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games. For betting purposes, and obviously betting on NBA games, so I guess the game that kind of like got him caught, I guess, would be was a Raptors game on March 20th, where according to the NBA, Porter disclosed confidential information about his own health status.
Jeez,
an individual knew up to be an NBA bettor, another individual who Porter knew. Placed an $80,000 parlay.
Yeah, that'll do it.
To win $1.1 million, wagering that Porter would underperform, quotes, in this particular game. The league found out that Porter limited his own, obviously, participation in the game.
I thought you were going to be like, the league found out that Porter knew this dude.
No, he knew one of the dudes. There's a couple
no,
of
I know, but like, yeah. That was sort of the red flag. Like, wait a minute. So then once they investigated it, yeah.
So obviously when they found out about the outcome of the bets, that was like the same game where he only played like 3 minutes. And then at like halftime, he was like, I'm feeling ill. Like, I'm not coming back. Like, so, and no one's going to question that, right? Like, okay.
Why don't you just play shitty?
You're not feeling good, you know, whatever. Yeah. So. Due to the unusual betting activity and actions of Porter and the $80,000, you know, prop bet, that was frozen and was not paid out. So that's what
came out. Oh no. What?
Yeah. It wasn't paid out. So that's what,
that's bullshit.
That's what tipped the camels. That's what, yeah.
Sean missed that part of the story.
That's what broke the camels back on the investigation, right? Cause that's how everything started. So
you hear that, Sean? It's not worth it. See?
Yeah.
It's not worth it if you're an NBA player. Let's put it like that.
No. It's not worth it, Sean, right? They will freeze your assets.
It's only worth it if you got a guy. You got to know a guy, you know?
No, man. That's all right. If we got to go this route, man. Yo, transfer all your money to a Panamanian bank, bro. You'll be straight.
Yeah. Oh, right. And use the.
Do it. Use do it. Escobar.
No, I'm just fucking.
It's like buying a week. think buying weed off a dealer instead of a dispensary, bro. You know what I mean? You're not paying taxes. It's not regulated. Go to a bookie and play if you want to place these shady bets. Come on.
Sean's the only dude in New England with a debit card for Banco Popular, bro. It's like, yo, where'd you get that?
Don't worry about it. Yeah,
they treat me like royalty every time I walk into Popular.
Mr. Dutra.
Hey!
Jordan's getting big, huh?
They let me cut the line and shit, dude. Yeah, it's great. Looking great.
So all in all, right, during his time with the Toronto Raptors and the 905 Raptors, that's obviously the G League affiliate of theirs, Porter placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account.
Shit.
The bets range anywhere from $15 to $22,000 for a total of $54,094. So that was the total payouts was about $76,000.
Yo, isn't he making like triple that?
Yeah, that's the thing. So
what's this guy's
doing? So the net winnings resulting, so pretty much all in all, he got banned from the NBA for winning $21,965.
Fuck.
That's essentially what it was. Obviously, all the bets he plays, he didn't win, but,
right.
You know, when it comes to like when you break it down, and mind you, he's made over $2 million since being with either the G League or the NBA. So, like, you did all that for that, bro?
Yeah, I don't think it's worth it.
The crazy part is the guy that he was using, the guy's account he was using was Shohei Ohtani's account.
Shut the fuck up, bro.
Yo, if you didn't laugh,
bro.
Seriously,
did you hear about that?
I swear, if you didn't laugh, bro, I was going to have two follow-ups, and then I was going to get really, really mad when Sean fucking says it's a joke.
That's what we missed last episode with.
Yes. Fucking guy almost got me. What's the latest on that dude? In case you missed it. Let's go baseball.
In case you missed it. His interpreter's like going to jail for the rest of his life, bro. He's under federal indictment now, bro.
Yeah.
Federal prison, bro. He's going to jail for like 30 years, probably.
Shit.
Is it a RICO?
This got real.
I guess you can't actually just steal $7 million of somebody's money.
Nah?
Yeah, they don't, that's frowned upon.
I really don't like that, huh?
No. Yeah, especially when Uncle Sam doesn't get his cut.
Yeah. And especially when you're making $2 million parlay bets on fucking Shohei Ohtani, dude.
Just give him zero fucks.
Yeah. So here's Porter made a total of $2.4 million in the NBA from 2019 through 2022, and then this year with a two-way deal, $415,000 was his contract. So. Yeah.
Damn, man.
All that for fucking $21,000.
And, well, a couple of things. First of all, this guy can't just go play overseas. I mean, the word's out on this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, not even, like, you know, any other league's going to be like, oh, it's okay. You know, it's been a few years. Like, no, man. Like, this betting thing, the sports betting, it's not just in America. Like, it's all over.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's the same type of awareness where you don't want any of your viewers to think that there's any tampering or guys throwing games. So there's that, right? So I feel like he's going to have a really hard time continuing his basketball career. And then there's the other part of this, which I feel like everyone is thinking the same, but no one's flat out saying it, especially when like, this is the first time this ever happened, right? First time the NBA has ever banned someone for something like this, you know, banned for life. But if this was Ja Morant, you think they're going to ban him from the league?
Like Ja Morant.
Like the way they just did. Like no trial, no, like they're just like, no, you're done. Like we did our investigation. That's it.
Ja Morant, like after everything he's done, or Ja Morant, the star player?
The star player.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a weird guy to pick because
even after everything he's done, I still don't think they would kick him out.
No,
I think they'd get rid of him
because
he's getting a suspension at worst.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
this dude,
in other words, if this guy was a star, they're not kicking him out of the league.
Like, yeah, but they had to set a precedent. Like this, right. He's the first player to get caught.
This is the perfect guy to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. He was the first guy to get caught with this, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if other players would get caught, especially if you're like, you know, in between the G League.
Right, exactly. This is that like, oh, don't end up like this guy.
Yeah,
My point is like, he would never do that with Jason Tatum. You know what I mean? Like, he would never do that with a star. Like, it's just.
But then you think about it, those stars are usually getting paid pretty well. So
they wouldn't even
bother to try this.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
Yeah.
But you never know, man. You wouldn't be surprised if something like this happens in the future.
Somebody like
and maybe it's not an all-star, but maybe it's someone like, you know, who's an everyday player.
For somebody like Sam Hauser? I don't know.
Sam Hauser just bets the under on minutes played every night. He's like, yes.
I just think it's interesting that like it's like, oh, this is the one that really got Silver upset. Like, oh, you're banned. It's just like domestic violence, guy slapping his wife, you know, all that other stuff.
Yeah.
The team can decide your fate. But this, no, get the fuck out of my league. You know what I mean? But
yeah, no, I see what you're saying. But
if
like,
it was a star, I don't think he would do it that fast.
Not only that, but you know, the NBA is a business at the end of the day, so they're like, yo,
of course.
You're taking money that we're not even paying you.
Right.
And who knows how long you've been doing this? Like, we caught you between these certain, you know, dates, but.
How dare you launder these checks?
I know, right?
We pay you well. You're laundering?
Under the table money? Like, how dare you? Like,
we treat you pretty good here. You have a great health system, healthcare
I know, right?
benefits.
Now you just sacrifice all that. You get nothing.
Jesus. Did you see the newest CBA? We're doing pretty good here.
I mean, look at Rondo. Rondo went back to school. And one of the things that he talked about on the podcast is like, yo, the NBA will pay for you to go back to school if you want that.
Yeah, that's what's up,
man. No, it's Porter gets none of that. None of that.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right.
Hey, there's always the big three.
What do you mean?
Oh, you're talking about the league, the Ice Cube's league?
Yeah, that's where he's going to end up, bro.
You think Ice Cube, all right. That's some controversy right there.
I don't think you can bet on the big three, so.
Ice Cube has to, like, clone your phone just in case.
I know. You sure they don't do, like parlays and, like, random shit like that on the big three?
Who the fuck? I don't fucking
know. You would know.
Yeah, man, you're the guy to ask. What you mean?
Hey, I've never bet on the big three, so.
Just because you haven't doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
So that means he hasn't seen it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, if I saw some action on the big three, I'd probably take it, dude.
You're going to hear him this summer being like, let's go, Joe. ISO Joe.
Mr. MVP again. All right, in case you missed it, yo, speaking of the NBA, the NBA and the Denver police are looking into an altercation where Nikola Jokic's brother,
yeah, man.
Or one of his brothers, reportedly punched a fan after Monday night's game, right? So this is after game two.
He sure did.
Out in Denver. And this isn't the first time Jokic's brothers have been in the news, and especially for some sort of violent act at Nikola's games here. Well, anyways, according to TMZ, the man that was seen climbing over the seats to confront another person at Ball Arena was then punched in the face. So that's the guy they're looking for.
You looking for me? You found me.
One of the Jokic brothers was seen punching this guy right after the buzzer beater.
Yeah. Yeah, I think just ate that punch. He was just like, yo, why did you just do that? It was weird. I was like, damn.
So yeah, you know, actually after the comeback, you know, Jamal Murray did his thing. He did his Kawhi there at the buzzer, and you just see this dude get knocked out by fucking Jokic's brother. And
yeah, baby,
the Denver police want to know where this dude is, because they're like, yo, we want to help you press charges, essentially, right? So,
I said, I'm right here, dude.
Yeah. So, according to an email from the Denver police, at this time, no one has come forward as a victim of this incident. Yeah, the department is looking into this incident and is actively working to identify the person in the video who was struck.
Oh, shit.
And encourages anyone who was involved.
I know what's going on here.
A witness firsthand to please contact the Denver police.
I know what's going on here.
What do you think is going on here?
Hush money.
What do you mean? Oh!
Yeah, man. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
I got you.
Here's 80 stacks. Don't you leave us alone there. Right? Say less, man. Actually, no, he probably wasn't even emotional. He was probably just like, yeah, I can do that. Like, trying to be tough about it, but just like, all right, sure.
Then your price? Kind
yeah.
Of thing?
Yeah. Maybe 100,000.
Damn.
Who knows?
Like NBA Finals tickets.
If they they get there.
He's like, all right, that's where I draw the line.
All right, now you're asking for too much. But you know who I am.
I know, his brother's going to be like, I'm not giving that dude fucking tickets. All right, we'll do something else.
I can't go anywhere with you guys.
Yeah. Yo, Nicola was like, man, you guys had me so freaked out. I thought dad was in the back, man. Some guy started speaking to me. Some guy said my name. Some guy from Serbia is down here. Did you know about this fucker is down here, man? Dude, I swear that was dad. He was like, yo, you guys got to chill. I'm getting paranoid over here. The look on Jokic's face is so funny. It's almost like he's scared. I'm telling you, his eyes got so big. He's like, yo, what?
I don't know. When I see shit like this, you know, if anybody who's seen Power, you know, this the original series.
The Serbs.
I wouldn't fuck with Serbs.
You don't fuck with the Serbs.
This is not something I would do, you know? And Nikola is probably like the nicest of the brothers. So.
He's the only one that collects horses. Everyone else is,
I mean,
they're into other stuff.
They're into some other shit. They weren't, you know. When there's like,
yeah, remember when they got into it with the Morrises?
Or one, yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, like,
and the other dude was just like, yeah, we're gonna handle that, yo. These two dudes showed up or whatever to Miami. We never heard any more about that story, man.
Bro,
it's just
bro.
Completely went away. Let's just drop it.
They created a Twitter page just for that, just to be
like, oh, the brother did, right?
Like, yo, we're coming after you, motherfuckers.
No, they're like tweeting on Twitter, like, yo, we're in Miami. What's up? Crickets, bro. Crickets. It's like, no, we good.
So you saying hush money in this situation? I don't know, man. Maybe this guy is just nowhere to be found.
They don't want to go through litigation and all that, that's man. What I'm
maybe he's nowhere to be found.
And we talking about this dude? Oh, you're saying the other way? You think the Serbs took care of him? Oh, man. That's a whole
nother. Yeah, I think that he's dead. I think he's dead.
Sean's been quiet this whole time. He's like, man, I didn't want to say anything, but yeah. I think he's going to be missing soon, bro.
I didn't want to say those words, but something to what Sean's saying. Yeah, something like that. I just said he's just not going to turn up. That's all I said. I ain't saying anything about him being deceased, but you know, Sean's like, no, he's dead. He's gone. He's done.
Sean's like, that's the last of that dude. He's out.
The Djokovic crime family took care of him.
All right. In case
that reporter dude was like another guy, like he doesn't.
Yeah.
He got a credential, but he was there for something else.
No, you know, sure. In case these dudes are listening, let's move on.
That's why his head switched so much, because he was like, find that, oh, Sean, fuck, you're here, dude. Like, yeah, that's definitely a hitman, bro.
Out that Sean Dutta guy. He's talking a little too much.
He knows too much.
Sergey, what are you doing here?
And they hits him. Oh, no.
You know why I'm here. Yeah. All right, in case you missed it, the Sixers, who just won game 3, they're, you know, still alive in the series, they put in a grievance for how the officials have conducted themselves, or in other words, how they've been officiating the first two games.
Them too, huh? They're doing it too.
Do we,
first the Lakers, now them?
No, I think it was them. They were first. And then, you know, Lakers were like, oh, we should do the same thing too. But anyways. Oh, no, I mean, like, yeah, I know what you mean. You're talking about the regular season when they wrote the
letter. Well, yeah, but were they Lakers first in the playoffs too?
In the playoffs, it was.
I guess for both, I was saying, but yeah.
Yeah, no. Cause it's funny, cause when you mentioning that, like LeBron going off after the, you know, the D-Lo, you know, foul or non-call.
Right.
Bitches about the refs telling, like, you know, they suck and, you know, dropping F-bombs and whatnot.
Fucking walking off.
Never gets fined. Yeah. And then before he walks off, talks about the New York game. He's like, oh, and then, you know, and then I heard about what happened in New York. It's like, yo, bro, you give two shits about the Knicks. Like, you're trying to help your case. And how about you don't blow a 20-point game, or 20-point lead, and then, you know.
Someone told you about it.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
the game just ended. Yeah.
You didn't see it. You didn't see what happened. You don't know what fucking happened. So, don't blow a 20-point lead, and then maybe you're not in that situation.
I just don't understand it, man. Like, it's a really bad look, if you ask me, because that's the narrative. That's the story of what happened. So, it doesn't boil down to one missed call, you know, according to LeBron. There's a whole lot of other reasons why you lost. And the only reason why you're mad is because you lost.
And how many times
you would not be talking about this play if you won. So, man, look in the mirror, look at your teammates and say, hey, man, we gotta make sure when we're up that much, we stay ahead, you know? Like, that's it. That's the moral of the story. No. The story isn't the ref screwed us. Oh my gosh. This is, what's the line that he said? Who was it? After he mentioned the New York thing, I forgot what he said. Yo, Max said in the podcast, I was dying. What do you say? Enough's enough. Or no, what do you say?
Damn. So it was something like that.
It was like
this is enough or something like that. Yeah. I know. I remember. I don't remember the quote exactly.
Fuck. It was so funny because I'm like, that's such a line that you say when you're like, you know, you're being a fucking egregious, but you're kind of like, you have to play the part and convince everybody. But it's like, no, man, you're being ridiculous right now.
How many times has he's been the beneficiary of a non-call or a call that shouldn't have been, you know what I'm saying? During his career.
Don't get me started there.
You know, it comes around at some point, right? Yeah. But with the 76ers and their gripe with the refs in the first two games, especially game two, the NBA released their last 2 minute report, which is fucking stupid because like nothing ever happens.
They're like, why won't you help us? Look at him. He's limping out there.
The last 2 minute report of the end of game two says that Brunson and Josh Hart both fouled Tyrese Maxey at the end of that game, right? When they inbounded and he got smacked more than once. And like he loses the ball and he grabs the ball again, but then he loses it the second time. And the report also said that Nick Nurse should have been granted a timeout before the ball was inbounded.
I don't know about that, man. They said that?
That's what they know. I'm reading it. Yeah, that's what it says. Yeah.
Man, he did the classic. Wait, no, I'm taking it back. I mean, yes. It was, I don't know. It wasn't a firm timeout. It was hesitant. If you show any hesitation, like literally your hands aren't connecting, like you know that, you know the timeout sign. Like one hand got to connect with the fingers or the 22nd version. There wasn't enough connection for me. Right?
Well, I'm just,
they should do the replay one more time.
Well, I'm just, one thing. I think they've done that a bunch of times. That's why they came to the conclusion that
it's a caucus.
The report came
caucus to mess this one up.
Man. It's a caucus.
The still report, goes to caucus, by the way.
The report, you know, concludes that they should have been awarded a timeout and that Tyrese was fouled by both Brunson and Josh Hart. So then what happens? Nothing. Refs don't get fined. You know, those same refs are going to be, working another playoff game. So, like, it's pointless. I think you release it just to be like, see, we told you.
Right.
But nothing happens. Yeah. And then going back to LeBron, I bet you the league is like, you know, we'll let you talk your shit so we won't fine you, but knock it off. And he's going to keep going. So like,
knock it off.
The league tries to do their little, you know, their little hustle deals. It's like, well, you know, we admit that we're wrong, but we're not doing anything about it.
Yeah, imagine when the next Donahue.
We're not going to replay that, the last seconds.
Imagine when they bust the next Donahue. Telling you, it's coming.
You think so?
Oh,
this
course.
Day and age?
In this day and age?
I think it should have. It would have happened by now. Like, we're talking about, like, what was that, 2008, 2009? When did that happen? It's been over 10 years.
Grand divine, bro. Some people say. It's even harder to find, man. Yo, I swear, you can't say this day and age without, for me, right? Without thinking about the Family Matters theme, bro. This day and age. Of the grand of that.
Some people say, it's even harder to find.
It's even harder to find.
Like, if you were to read that as a poem, it'd be like, yo, this dude is fucking genius.
This guy's spit.
This guy's soulful, right?
That piano, bro.
And then when it comes back, yeah, that's how it is. When it comes to the NBA, yes, that's exactly how it is. All right,
you put that one perfectly. There you go.
In case you missed it, shout out to those that have won their end of the year awards so far, because they haven't announced everybody yet. All right.
I found it.
You found it?
What LeBron said.
Oh, all right.
I mean, it's, what are we doing?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? It's like when he was shitting on the play-in, right? That person should get fired. It's like, yo, my dude, because of the play-in, you've been in the playoffs the last 3 years. Seriously. It's like, fuck off. Like, you're benefiting from this.
You never know when you're going to be put in that situation, man. You can't be saying silly stuff like that.
Yo, Draymond said it best. He goes, I fucking hate it, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I hate the playing, but it's fucking great.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is, bro. And not only that, yo, doesn't the NBA Player Association, don't they sign off on that?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. So, the in-season tournament, you weren't saying shit about that, right? Because you want it. the playing, all this other stuff, you know, these awards that I'm about to talk about here and like naming after other, you know, former players or whatever.
I think they're going to do,
that gets US, signed off by the
I think they're going to do US versus the world for All Star Weekend. They're talking, at least they're talking about him.
But
Silver was pissed about that game.
No, but
I don't blame
someone him. Said recently they were like that's not going to happen because the world, cause even though like the US is part of the world, would fucking murder the US in this game. That's why Silver doesn't want this to happen.
Oh, I hope that. I hope that people believe that because then the Donovans
I can't remember who it was.
Mitchells and the Jason Tatum, they're gonna be like, oh really? That's how y'all feel? It'd be good.
I heard it recently. I think maybe it was the on KG Certified. I don't know. Maybe it was one of those, but he was just like, yo, Silver is, he's petrified to make a game like that because the US would get shitted on.
So what? The fuck?
I'm not agreeing with it, but yeah.
Okay.
Like, fix it. If you want to fix the All-Star game, then make it, you know, like,
that's
make
the
it
case,
like that.
I bet you'd be way more entertaining.
Make it like that. I mean, unless you're Gilbert Arenas saying that, like, the European players ruined the NBA.
No, they just ruined your career, bro.
Yeah.
Why don't you keep up?
No, he did it himself.
Oh, yeah, that's
it. He did it himself. All right, so the latest. Yeah,
they just adapted, man. I don't understand. Like, there is something to it, though. There's that little, like, I don't know. It's like a thing. It's like a, something against them. It's like, you can't ever be, multifaceted. You know what I mean? If you're from Europe, like, that's the stigma. It's weird. It's like, you're either a shooter. Well, yeah, they're all shooters. I was going to say a big, but yeah, it's like, you're either one of those, like, bigs that can stretch the floor, or you're like a athletic or ridiculously tall wing that can shoot. You know what I mean?
But I think what Gilbert was saying was that how nobody plays defense anymore. He blames Europeans for that.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Exactly.
No one plays defense because I just feel like it's just all about shooting more, you know? And I feel like
nobody wants to be that next meme.
Yeah, that too. No. Yeah. No one wants to be on a highlight reel for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Some of these memes don't go away.
Yeah. All right. So congrats to NBA Clutch Player of the Year, which was Stephen Curry. He won that.
And then missed the playoffs.
So, I don't know. But second place was DeMar DeRozan, who also missed the playoffs. So, what are we doing here? So, I mean, Tatum did get some votes in this, though. For some Celtic connection here. He got one first place vote and a total of 5 points.
Nice. I told Joe.
He'll be pumped. Like, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He was eighth. Eighth. Nice. Eighth in voting, all right? So there's that. Sixth man of the year, Naz Reid.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that was a good
Yeah, man. He's a heck of a season for that dude.
Good choice. It was only a 10-point difference between him and Malik Monk winning it, so that was like the smallest margin like ever.
Well, he's the first man of the year. Big, right? I wanna say. Oh, he's the first center, I think, that won that award. Well, the first time in a long time, I want to say. Yeah. Something like that. It's been a while. It's usually a wing.
Because Bill Walton, remember, in 86.
Oh, yeah.
8.6 points a game.
Jeez. I guess it was a popularity contest back then.
No, it was like all the years
he was injured. Fucking Hauser put better numbers
all
on this.
All the years he was injured, they were like, you know, here you go. You won an award here, and other than the NBA title, right?
They had to fucking tape them together every night in games.
Jeez. So yeah, so Nas won it with 352 points to Malik Monk's 342. So Bobby Portis came in third with a total of grand smacking 81 points. Wow. So for those that thought that, you know, I really thought it was going to be between Malik and Nas, to be honest. I didn't think Bobby.
Yo, Sacramento can't catch a break, man. They don't get anything. Remember how mad they were because there wasn't any All-Stars name?
Well, I mean, it's been a tough year of the non-lighting of beam games. Nah. You know, now this probably would have been their only thing. You know.
They'll be all
right. Yeah, they'll be okay. That'll be fine. Most improved. Most improved is, you know, no one was shocked to hear to see this. You know, Tyrese Maxey winning most improved. We're at 319 total points over Kobe White. From Chicago, 305.
Kid's a baller, man. Happy for him. So All-Star. All-Star Maxey.
I mean, I don't know what's up next. I mean, I can take a guess on what's up next. Probably Defensive Player of the Year, which is between Bam Adebayo, Rudy Gobert, and Victor Wembanyama.
Man, does Victor get it?
I mean, that'd be dope.
I feel like he has to get it, man.
I mean, I think either he
blocked
gets
a
it,
lot of shots.
I think either he gets it or yeah, he did. He's also fucking 7'5" or whatever.
Did you see that wild percentage?
Yeah.
That's insane.
It was crazy.
More than half players that ever played in the NBA.
If he doesn't
win already passed them.
I think it should go to Bam because this would be the only time Bam would probably be able to win this award. Because let's face it, Victor's going to win this award a bunch of times.
Oh, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Because Rudy's won it a bunch of times. Quite frankly, I'm tired of him winning it, to be honest. Like, you know.
Three times, right? Yeah.
Can we get somebody else up in there?
Yeah.
So.
Bam's had a heck of a year, too. Yeah, I just think it's something that, we've never seen it before, but the chances of him topping it, it's very likely. Yeah. So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So we got that. We got, obviously, Rookie of the Year, which, I mean, is there anybody else who's going to win it over, Victor?
Chet. Yo, Chet had a legit shot, and then Victor just started blocking everyone.
Yeah. So. He just said, you know what? Bye-bye. And just blocking.
Yeah, right.
Blocking.
All right, give that one to him, and then I'll talk to Bam.
Yeah. So, you know, Brandon Miller is the third finalist in that category. And then
good class. Good rookie class this year.
You got Coach of the Year, Chris Finch.
Doc?
No. The Timberwolves. No, not Doc. Not even Joe. You got Jamal Mosley of the Orlando Magic.
Joe's got to be after these guys.
And we got the OKC coach there, Mark. I'm going to try to pronounce his last
name. What's his last name, bro? Go on. He's a local guy. Don't do him like that.
Is he? Tell me. Yeah. Where's he from?
Oh, fuck, I forget. He's definitely from...
there's a lot of local guys out in the league. Because the Wizard was a local guy, right? Because I remember him giving props on my
name. Yes. Friends. Yeah. And it's funny, too, because they're all like around our age. It's like, right,
that's crazy.
We made it. We it. And then you got Joe Mazzulla, obviously, from Rhode Island.
I'll take a shot. Dagnadult.
Dagadult.
Dagadult?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right. That was close. I'll take a shot. A local guy. I got to give
him
a
shot. The end is silent. like he's fucking Django.
The D is silent.
You never heard him say that, bro?
Mark. if the D was silent, he'd be like Agnonaut.
You know what's crazy too? They're all, we're talking about the age thing, right? They're all like the youngest, that group of coaches. Yeah. Not only they're all from New England, but they're all like the youngest coaches in the NBA. It's pretty cool. Like they're like mid 30s to 40.
And then you got Joe. He's from.
And then Brad's not that far off. Remember when he first got hired, he was not even 40 yet.
Yeah. So yeah, New England, we all got New England connects here. All right. Yeah.
That's why he's weird like that.
And then of course, the one that everybody wants to see here.
Hold on. I got to find out where this motherfucker's from.
The MVP.
Leominster. He's from Leominster, kid.
Leo Minster?
See, I didn't say it like that.
I know. MVP.
No, but I mean, like, that's how you know I'm from here.
Leominster.
I don't blame him, but if you're not from here, people have the weirdest pronunciations for town.
Bro, can you imagine,
just know that because you live here. It's like, yeah,
can you
that's
imagine
true.
The first time seeing the town Scituate? Well, fuck, you gotta pronounce that shit.
Gloucester. Have you guys ever been to Gloucester? It's amazing. It's right by the water, bro.
Gloucester.
The waves are dope. Where? What did you just say? That's how you know you fucked up. You see the look on their face, they're like, they don't want to say it again. No, say it again, man.
War chai?
I remember the first time I heard someone say Tedeschi's.
Ooh. I think it was Patrick.
He said.
He used to live near the one. That's why.
I was like, what did you just say? He was like, what? Tedeschi? Am I saying it wrong? What? And like, he got so like I was about to be like, everyone, he just called it.
Stop what you're doing.
Yeah, Rick, listen to what I'm saying.
Say it again, Patrick.
And like, everyone's going to be like, ah! Like, fucking start dying laughing. Idiot.
That was straight up a Doug moment. Like,
yeah.
That's how he would see things in his head. Like,
that's the imagination part. Yeah. I didn't know. No.
Forgive me.
Yeah, we're really showing our
age. Yo, what did you just say? I don't know. I don't know. I forgot what I said.
All right.
Yeah, MVP. Luca, SGA, or Nicola. Who's winning it?
Wait, what was the first one?
Luca.
Oh, you did say Luka. I think you said the other way around first. I feel like it's got to go to Jokic, man.
I think it's Jokic or SGA.
Or SGA,
it's one of those two. It's not Luka. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. They're not giving it again to another fifth place team. I'm sorry. They did that with Russ.
Nah, it's got to be SGA.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I already like told myself Jokic in like early March. Or maybe like probably right after the All-Star break.
I made my choice.
Right. And I was just like, you know what? That's just the way it's going to be. Because he had that lead. But then the Thunder, man, they went on this run. And granted, like people who say, you know, this isn't the year for SGA yet are going to point out, oh, look at Holmgren and look at, you know, the support that he has. And, it's not just him. But man, like he really though, like the way he elevated his game this season, right. I feel like it was like, not only did he take his teammates with him in the sense of like getting everyone involved and how the team oriented basketball, but like, I just think he's like changed just the culture there. You know, I feel like it's like, he's like the face of the franchise now. And obviously with the pieces that he has around them, like none of these guys are anywhere near like 25, right? Super young.
Yeah.
But like he, again, my whole thing is like the way he carries himself, it's been impressive because, you know, he could go out there and put up 40 every night. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like, not that he's like, I'm not trying to say he's holding back. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, his value is, it's beyond of, you know, points and assist and all that. You know, I just think his overall, like, leadership and how he's just like really blossomed this year, compared to other teams. But I think what puts him over the edge is the success of the team and how he got to the top.
That goes like above all his things that he's done this year.
Like Minnesota had the number one spot for a while and OKC was kind of like, yeah, they'll probably be in the top tier, but like, man, they were knocking that door and they never left, you know? And then when the playoffs started, like, oh, look who's the number one, you know? So,
but the thing with OKC was they were a playing team a year ago.
Yeah.
Did you expect them to be any higher?
That's what I'm saying. Like the way the team blossomed, but it's not one of those like, oh, well, this dude's had to carry him. No, they all evolved, but he did a really good job of just like taking them with him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Like the leap that they made is insane. But to go from that to, wait a minute, these guys they have a shot at winning the West. You know what I mean? Like my team is still Denver, but if they beat them, I mean, if a team were to knock them off, for me, it's OKC, maybe the Clippers. I don't know, depending on how healthy they are. Clippers are kind of like, I don't know, but that's about it. I can't say the same thing about Minnesota or other teams, but.
I'm still not on the
Minnesota thing, right?
The Minnesota or the OKC train.
I'm kind of surprised the way that series is going right now. That's why I'm like, I don't think the Suns are completely doomed right now. Yeah. Like, so. I think people are going to be surprised by the time that series switches and goes back to Minnesota.
And they're going to get better. Anthony Edwards is going to get better.
Right. Yeah. That's the thing. So,
like, if Shea doesn't win it this year,
they're here to stay. I don't think it's going to be one of those this is that one year.
Like both of those teams' cores are looking bright.
Right. And young. Yeah.
And young. Exactly. Yeah. So if SGA doesn't win it, the MVP this year, like he'll be in the conversation for, you know, if he keeps elevating his game the way he's going.
Yeah, he's not going
for years to come. So and plus OKC is going to get better too. So that's going to help him, I think.
If the Warriors, we'll have this conversation on another episode because I definitely want to have that. But if the Warriors, do what I think they're supposed to do, you better grab some of those first round draft picks from OKC and have a very uncomfortable conversation with Klay Thompson. Mm. Wouldn't that be a great piece for those guys?
Klay going to OKC?
Yes.
So you're talking about like a sign and trade? Is that what you're talking about?
Sign and trade. Yeah. Obviously, you got to throw guys in there to make the contract match. But if you're Golden State, man, like,
you know, I think he'd be good.
You're not gonna get multiple future first round picks for anybody else. Yeah, and obviously, they're not trading Steph. That's what I mean.
No. I know what you're saying.
And they've already locked in Draymond. He's gonna ride off to the sunset there.
So. If you want to put him in the situation where he can, you know, get a chance to win another championship,
that's what I mean. It's a win-win. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, hey, you know, it sucks, but you have a better shot than any of us. Yeah. So. You know what I mean? You could word it that way, if you will. And if you're OKC, it's like, man, we don't even need you to be the fucking third option on this team or whatever. Like, you adapt to us, you know? Yeah. And it's not a pressure situation where it's like, if this dude doesn't perform well, this whole team is screwed. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's the luxury of having those future first round picks. Right, Danny? You know what I mean? Like, like I swear, like, OKC, like, they took the chapter out of Danny Ainge's book and they've taken it to another level.
Yeah.
It's impressive. It really is. But, this is that part of the process where you're like, you can't hold on to all those picks, man. You got to like start figuring this thing out. And I think that could be one of those deals where they're like, hey, you know, slept on deals where it won't even be like the biggest thing they do this upcoming offseason.
Oh, so you mean they won't resign Gordon Hayward? Is that what you're telling me?
Probably not. Hey, yo, that's your new Gordon Hayward. That's your new Gordon Hayward. I was like, what are you about to say right now? I was like, who's coming off the books? I was like, what do you say? They're not going to resign. I was like, wait, what? Williams? Like, what?
No, another place I can see Clay going, real quick, I think San Antonio. That'd be, you know.
That's a good one.
You know, they're a good building piece for them.
If he wants to do that.
Yeah. You hear rumblings of, you know, Chris Paul possibly getting signed with, you know, with the Spurs. Chris Paul could end up with the fucking with OKC for all we know, bro.
Are we still doing this with Chris Paul, bro? No, I'm not doing this with this dude. Not.
Well, he said he's not retiring. That's the only reason why I'm bringing it up.
He said that?
He said it. He said he's not the end of his, he's not done. The good thing is you're not signing for 20 mil or 30 mil, whatever the fuck he was making this year.
Yeah, several line. I remember telling Max before season started, like, yo, these dudes ain't gonna make the playoffs. They ain't gonna make the playoffs. Like, Max, how many years are we gonna do this, man, with this team, bro?
Yeah.
It's over. You guys, you squeezed out that fourth one. It was impressive, yeah. But like,
I was dead wrong. I thought they'd be top four, top five.
This year, really? I never thought that.
I did.
After seeing Chris Paul, I'm like, yo, he's gonna play 30 games this year.
Yeah. No, but he actually played well, but like, you know, Draymond being in and out.
Draymond in and out. Clay, you don't know you don't know who he was at that point. We know Clay now.
Has been the same for like 3 years.
Been the same. Yeah. The rest of the Western Conference is beyond caught up. You can't even say caught up. Like, they've surpassed these guys.
Yeah.
And when they finally, you're going to just roll out the same squad.
Yeah, when they finally gave, man, you know, this dude more minutes, Kuminga.
Yeah.
I think it was his name.
Jonathan. Yeah.
They finally started giving him more minutes because he was like, yo, like, either fucking trade me or fucking, you know, give me more minutes. And yeah. So then.
You just have to do that. You have to play younger guys too. Yeah. And you're in that phase. Last year, I thought was going to be that like Celtics 2012 season, but people were trying to squeeze them into that team for this year. And I'm like, no, they're not going to have, I mean, they're going to have a really hard time getting into the playoffs, and there's hungrier teams in the play in, like, you know.
But Steph missed a lot more games last year.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But, all right.
We shall see. That's like, it's kind of like his, like every other year with Steph. Yeah. Even though one of those years turned into a championship, but yeah, that's true.
But he's going
to
be,
he missed a lot of games.
It's going to be hard to move if you want to go that
way. Oh, no, I don't, that's not
happening. I don't think so either.
No.
But yeah, but speaking of Steph, in case you missed it.
That's not what I want.
He's heading, at least he gets some time off before he heads out to Paris. He's going to be on the Olympic team.
Oh, that's right.
Team USA.
I was like, what's he doing in Paris? Yo, his team is sacked.
He's one of the 12 final roster for the team USA. So other than Curry, you got Bron, who could be resting before Paris soon enough. Mm. You got Kevin Durant. You got Joel Embiid. Congrats, obviously, to Jason Tatum and to Jrue Holiday, who were teammates in the last Olympics and who won gold.
Yeah, they did.
Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, the Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Haliburton, and last but not least, Kawhi Leonard. They had picked 11 originally, like off the top, off rip, and that 12th spot was kind of up for grabs. Jaylen Brown and Derek White were among the 40, like, what do you call it, like, just listing off like names.
Yeah,
like,
it was the year. 40 man roster.
Yeah. Oh, they were invited. Like, I forget what they call it. Something. It's like a
selection or something.
Like a list of potential. Mm-hmm. You know, and Kyrie was also on it, right? So obviously, when the 12 were announced and Kyrie wasn't on it, Kyrie was asked, "Joe, you know, what your thoughts on it?" He goes, "I wish we went back to the days of you know, having to try out." You know what? I found that kind of interesting. I was like, why don't they do that anymore?
Yeah, that's a good call.
Right? Because what happens?
That's the way it was for years.
Yeah, it was like that for mad long.
Oh, well, I mean, I think that's the best way because you can, you get a great sense of, chemistry. And, you know, maybe particular players shine in different ways and particular lineups and stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's not like a week long thing, but even a few days would help, I think. Yeah.
Like, especially if you're gonna do that 40, like, you know, like, do like first cut, second cut, like, right, they've done that before.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But anyways, Steve Kerr, he'll be coaching officially. This is first Olympics as the head coach, because last was Popovich.
Popovich, so yeah.
Should be interesting. If they're not the favorite, I don't know who the fuck is to win this shit.
No, that team is stacked, man. Should be good.
I mean, Bron hasn't been, it's been over 10 years since he went to the Olympics.
I love that, that Tatum is a regular for these things, man. I really,
oh, hell yeah.
I think because of who he is as a player, as a person, he just respects the guys that come before him. He respects the game. He respects, people's, I feel like he respects people's testimonies. You know what I mean? Like, he's the type of guy I feel like you can, he'll give you your undivided attention. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't think he's one of these guys who's like, oh, I'm the man already. What are you going to tell me that I don't already know? You know what I mean? Like, he respects the guys that came before him. So, those are the ones I feel like that really absorb everything there is to, you know, about that experience, not just on the court, but off the floor, how to carry yourself as a veteran. Like, students. I want him in the room with all those, like.
Definitely student of a game.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely, and being surrounded with, you know, the best players in the world, he's like a sponge for that type of stuff. I always envision him as a guy like that. And he's so personable. Like, people like him. You know what I mean? He's the opposite of a loner. He's the opposite of, you know, someone that's not gonna, you know, hear people out. So it's good. It's good. And the better he gets, the more I feel like people want to talk to him and joke around with him. Like, remember when Kevin Durant, like, kind of was like, yo, this dude's next. You remember when that was at the Olympics? Like, I was like, yo, this is the guy. And that was before he even reached the NBA finals. So it's cool, man. I think that's, I love when, Tatum's name is like almost automatically a lock for those rosters.
Pierce called him the best American born player right now. You agree?
I mean,
it's got a case.
Yeah.
Because right now you're talking, you know, Giannis, not from here. Embiid, not from here. Jokic.
The only names that popped in my mind was.
Even SGA, he's Canadian.
Yeah. The only names that popped in my mind. Well, that's the thing, too. When you said, when Adam Silver said, I was like, I forgot. A lot of these, especially younger players, they're Canadian. But no, I was going to say is, man, they probably won't even make it, some of these guys. the two names that popped in my mind were Durant and Steph. Depending on where you feel they are right now, maybe. I mean, in a few years, it would be no doubt. But yeah, he's in the mix.
All right, cool.
He's in the mix. He's going to be the face of the league at one point. I mean, I just think it's going to be one of those things where it won't just be one guy. Like this whole like, oh, who's going to be the next quote unquote LeBron? Like, I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it'll be a couple of guys. You know. Yeah.
All right, so
that'll be.
We shall see.
And then grab the baton for the next era of NBA. You know,
it would be good to see when how he responds in this first round here, right, against Miami. So, shout out to him too. He's got the number 3 top selling jersey, Tatum.
Oh, that's what's up.
Yeah,
yeah, you see those everywhere.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it. That's gonna do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Hit us up on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up CausewayStreet.com for your Celtics playoff coverage. Conversation keeps going, never stops. If you subscribe to our Patreon, that's Causeway After Hours, patreon.com/Causeway. Giving away a jersey soon. Speaking of jerseys.
Yeah, man. Playoffs time. We got to do another one.
We have our after show podcast on there and the one-on-one with Sway, where he has conversations with anybody that you can imagine. Players, coaches. Then you talk to to Donnie Wahlberg one time. Like, you know, he's just
celebrities, analysts. Yeah, for sure, man. Really excited about, Mike Gorman.
Shout out to Mike. Shit.
Had a great conversation with Mike. Yeah, man. Sean had to leave us, it looks like, but we'll have that conversation, probably next episode because,
that was dope, by the way.
He's going to be done soon. So, we'll definitely have to give him his flowers for sure. But yeah, man, subscribe, really great one-on-one conversation I got coming out, soon. It's one of those things where I'm trying to see if I should, wait for him to finish off.
Oh, I got you.
Beforehand.
Yeah.
But, the way the series is going, man, maybe he'll be doing, he'll at least be doing a game 5, if you ask me.
Well, I mean,
no, he'll definitely be doing a game 5.
So I know you're going on the road. He's not going on the road.
No, he doesn't go on the road. So that's what I'm saying. Game five.
Even in the playoffs,
Yeah.
I think because of his last season, maybe he can go.
Well, game 1 he didn't do. I think it's
because
of
Sunday. No, because it wasn't on.
It wasn't on. But he was at the arena, which I thought was great.
ABC had it exclusively.
They put him on the big screen right before the 4th, man. Place went nuts. Yeah. He had his championship ring on. It was dope, man. Like if the Celtics, you guys subscribe to find out more. Yeah, man, Mike Gorman means a lot to me, man. Yo, so yeah, I might even extend it, man. I might even try to get another few minutes with the dude. Like, I gotta, like, that's where Mike's like one more.
The most popular guy right now.
Well, yeah, that too, but I feel like Mike's like one of those, like, we can ask him for a few more minutes one more time and be like, hey, listen, man, are we done or are we done? Man? What's going on? But we'll see. Either way.
Only a few minutes add up to hours. Joe Sway.
Either way, it's a really good, extended conversation for sure. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see when.
Which also reminds me.
It should be out by next week.
We had him on, right before the pandemic.
Yeah, man.
That was our episode number 200.
That's one of my favorite episodes.
So check that out. That actually was like our third most listened to, like, episode
ever, right?
over the past week. Crept back in.
Just now? Oh,
just now. Yeah. Like
it went back to the Billboard.
I went back to the Billboard 100. Yes.
Damn.
I reposted it on the, on Mike Gorman Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been taken off. So if you haven't listened to it, episode 200, special conversation with Mike Gorman. This was before Tommy, passed and before Kobe passed. So he's got cool stories about both of them in that. So check it out. Episode 200.
Wow.
All right. So that's going to do it for us. Sway's going down to South Beach. Follow him on Twitter @Joe_Sway. He also does his damn thing on the Cedric Maxwell podcast and the Garden Report after every Celtics game. So peep that under the CLNS umbrella, whether it's YouTube or on Twitter, check them out as well. Cause the series better not go beyond 5.
I know.
That's what I'm going to say.
I just feel like I'm going to be pissed. And not because I think this is going to lose, but because it's like, you didn't have to do this.
Let Mike go out on a high note.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right? Yeah. Let Mike Gorman go out on a high note.
Like he said, go win this thing.
Don't win the goddamn thing. Just win it. That's it. All right. So until next time, we are out.
See you next week.